Lynn, press star one. Okay, well, I'm going to get started, then we'll hand it off to Lynn. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of The Vision for You. My name is Larry Kay from Chicago, and I'll be the host for our presentation today. And today is Sunday, November 2nd, 2025. The share ID numbers for Friday, October 31st, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that number is 22,912. That's 22912. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, that number is 22913. That's 22913. Hey, Lynn, are you able to unmute?
Yeah, I was having technical difficulties, but here I am.
Ah, there you are. Hi.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Vision. This weekend coming up, this is not your ordinary weekend. This is a Vision for You's convention 2025, and it's been 6 years. November 7th, 8th, and 9th, we're gathering at the stunning Liberty International Airport Marriott Hotel for a weekend packed with recovery, laughter, and spiritual fire. 4 beautiful abstinent meals, delicious, nourishing, and prepared with love. Dancing, games, and prizes. Inspiring keynote speakers. Then special attention to each of the 12 steps with 2 special breakout sessions with a very specific focus. A chance to go deep and come alive in your recovery. And here's the miracle. Registration has reopened and will remain open indefinitely. That's right. No one gets left behind this year. Rooms are still available for you at the gorgeous Renaissance Hotel, and we've locked in an unbelievable bargain price on those. Just use the special link on the registration form at www.avision4u.info. So whether you're new, coming back, or walking strong in recovery, this is your time, your people, your place. This is your personal invitation. So don't wait another minute. Visit avision4u.info and grab your spot today, because this November, the vision comes alive and you belong in it. A Vision for You convention 2025, where recovery shines bright and no one gets left behind. See you there, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Lynn. You got me all excited. So, yeah, we don't leave anyone behind. Maybe Harlan, but the rest of you, nobody else gets left behind. Okay, so this morning, A Vision for You presents Spiritual Awakening, A New State of Consciousness. You know, most of us arrived to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous shattered by this merciless disease. And despite every conceivable effort to manage our compulsive eating and you know, those ancillary behaviors surrounding the eating, most of us crawl into the rooms devoid of all hope. And the Big Book does a particularly excellent job in describing the state of mind on page 151. I'm going to read it to you. It says, the less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society, from life itself. As we became subjects of King Alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that his loneliness settled down, it thickened, ever becoming blacker. Some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. And momentarily we did, and then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous 4 horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Now, if you're one of us, you will be welcomed into this fellowship. You will likely receive tons of love and support among our membership. You'll see that if you're in Newark. You know, we're not leaving anyone behind. But what I will tell you is not a single person will twist your arm to do or change a thing. In fact, you can stay comfortably in OA and never follow what our texts our text suggests. No one's ever going to kick you out of OA, ever. Now, that said, in my experience, there's nothing quite as miserable, and I know this from personal experience, as suffering in the fellowship of OA in the rooms day after day, waiting for some sort of pixie dust solution by just kind of whistling in the dark, managing my emotions better, fighting, fight for one more hour of abstinence, knowing, you know, deep in my heart that I'm not getting a reprieve from this mental obsession, sort of that feeling of merely holding my breath underwater. And that was perhaps worse than being a slave to the food in some ways. And that's why we focus on studying the text. And that's what we're going to do this weekend, because the text will provide a clear, simple, easy to understand roadmap, a pathway out of this mental obsession. And the actions suggested in the book will not be vague. They're going to be very clear on how to implement the steps for a lifetime. And this is the only bridge to freedom available to someone like us. A spiritual awakening must happen at depth. There needs to be a revolutionary change of consciousness. There are, you know, I've often heard two doors. Door number one, disease. And we all know what's behind that door. You know, after all, we've been walking through that door on a daily basis, you know, many of us for years. There's no mystery on what awaits us beyond that door. And the second door is marked recovery, and you're going to see that. You'll hear that this morning. You'll hear it on the line. This is a bit more mysterious because a spiritual awakening is not a priori. A priori, that's Latin for, you know, reasoning or knowledge which precedes something else. It's using simple deduction. But a complete psychic change doesn't happen by way of deductive reasoning. Now, a spiritual awakening can only be known after one experiences it for themselves. Until you experience it, you cannot wrap your brain around it. You can ask everyone around you that's had one. You're still not going to assimilate it until you experience it. That's why I have to have the courage and the trust in a process that I cannot fully comprehend yet. I have to trust in a program of action that's going to result in a revolutionary change of consciousness. And it's a good place to be, actually. And that's, if that's where you are, we say, you know, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. Now, joining us this morning to share her personal story of transformation as a result of the application of the 12 steps is Kara L. And Kara is a recovered compulsive overeater in California. Kara is dedicated to the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a way of life. So it's with much gratitude and sincerity that we welcome Kara to the line this morning. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having me this morning, everyone. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Long Beach, California, where it's currently still dark. I will admit, when Leah gave me choice of dates, I was like, oh, I'll take the time change, because I actually got an extra hour this morning. I'm so grateful to be here this morning, just listening to Larry and everybody else check in. I know I'm with my fellows. As I sit here today, I actually have a little tears in my eyes, because the life, the change that this program has given me has been miraculous. And I will say that it is every day. I get little miracles every day. And I'll go more and I'll explain, you know, what I call those and what they look like to me. And I'm just so thankful. I'm a little disappointed I won't be in New York. I'm going to be in Dallas with a bunch of teenagers working. But my heart will be with you all, and hopefully in 2 years. And I'm thankful today that I have an opportunity just to let you get to know me a little bit and share with you just the beauty and the peace and the gratitude I have for the Big Book. And how it has affected me in my life. It certainly has been a psychic change, and I'm ever so grateful for that every single day of my life. The hard days, the easy days, I am so grateful because they're not as hard and they're not as easy as they were in the past. A little bit about myself. I was always taught, you know, three parts to a share. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I came into the rooms, you know, I was young mother, had two small children, husband. When I walked through the doors, I had just kicked him out of the house. Every day was a challenge. I was screaming. It just was bleak. Every day I would wake up in the morning and I would say, okay, today's the day. And in the past, it had been the day. In the past, I had been able to have some modicum of control over my intake of food. I would gain weight, I'd lose weight, I would eat, I would not eat. Until the day I remember looking at my husband and saying, I can't diet anymore. I don't know how this happened, but I had been always able to restrict, you know, and drop weight. And every morning I would wake up and I would say, okay. And I would eat a diet breakfast. And then I would continue to compulsively eat throughout the rest of the day. And then in the evening, I would be demoralized, right? And the description of this for me is, you know, in the doctor's opinion. And it says, after they succumb to the desire again, as many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution never to drink, not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. Unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope for his recovery. That was me. I couldn't find a better description of me in that moment. Every day, I had a firm resolution going to bed. I woke up with that firm resolution. And then I would continue to compulsively eat until it happened over and over and over again. And it caused this demoralization. And I just started acting out everywhere with it because I didn't know what to do with it. I had no control. And for me, in that moment, control meant that I was okay. Control helped mask the fears, and I couldn't do it anymore. And just before that line, in the doctor's opinion, you know, it says, you know, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol, the effect produced by food for me. What did that look like? Well, there was a few minutes I didn't have to think. There was a few seconds that I didn't have to worry. There's a lot of eyes in there. You know, I was constantly trying to be the best, have the right answer, with this underlying fear that I knew I wasn't enough. And the food would soothe that for a little bit. And the first line that said to me was, you know, the sensation is so elusive, while they emitted interest, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems only the normal, or only normal one. And that's just it, right? My alcoholic life seemed my compulsive eating life. You know, I will tell you that for the longest time, I thought what I did was normal, that everybody thought the same way I thought, that everybody lived the same way I lived, that everybody struggled the same way I struggled. Right? That they were just doing better than me. That I didn't have the answers, that I had to continually push. And I couldn't be wrong, because if I was wrong, then you would tell me that I was failing at what everybody else was succeeding. You know, when I looked to the outsides of your life, I knew I couldn't compete. And The food to me, I thought was comfort. And this is what I thought was normal. You know, I didn't know that there was anything else. And it's a kind of a terrifying thought when, you know, you don't know. And I don't know where to go. Unfortunately, that led me through the doors of OA, right? That fortunately, that led me into a meeting. And I got into that meeting, and it's been over 2004, I walked through the doors of a Seal Beach meeting about 15, 20 minutes from my house. I didn't know anybody there. I didn't understand what they were saying. And the only thing that I've done perfectly is for the last 20 some odd years, I haven't left. You know, I heard from people on this line, I heard them say to me, just don't leave. A miracle will happen. And then I heard people that had been there and they said it took them 8 years, it took them 10 years, it took them, you know, it took them 15 years, 22 years, it took them 5 years. But I kept hearing, like, don't leave. Don't leave. And I will tell you, it was so elusive. Like, I don't know what I'm staying for. You know, but I'm going to do. I was so desperate. And I was also really great at following directions for textbooks. I needed to get the A in this program. Right. So I did what it was asked of me. I did. I read, I did the steps. I found a sponsor within 6 weeks of showing up. I did all the dues, and I still didn't have what I was reading about. You know, I would hear people in the rooms talk about a spiritual experience, and I would see how their lives were different and better. And I didn't know how to get it. And I kept trying to do it myself. Like, I kept trying. One of my favorite, let me take a sip of tea here. Thank you. One of my favorite lines, I was on page 53 in Weave Gnostics. And, you know, it says, God is or he is, and what is our choice to be? Arrived at this point, we are squarely confronted with a question of faith. We couldn't deck the issues. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason to the desired shore of faith, right? And I started to think about that line over and over again. Desire, shore of faith. How do I get, you know, I'm a reason gal. You know, give me books. I was a good book learner, you know. So how do I get? And truthfully, if I could tell you in this minute, like I could say A plus B equals C, right? Oh, do this, do that, do this. You know, and as we heard in the opening from Larry, like how, it's elusive. Like, how do I tell you? How do I tell people I work with? How do I know that I'm walking from the bridge of shore to the reason, you know, the bridge of reason to the shore of faith? What does that look like? You know, is there a magic, you know? And I will tell you, I spent 15 years in this program, 15 years of doing my best, 15 years of working with people, 15 years of you know, reporting my food and really trying. I tried so hard, everyone. I just want you to know how hard I tried. And the harder I tried, the more elusive it seemed to be. I couldn't step out of what I thought was normal. And there's a, you know, I would meditate, and I was doing what was asked of me. And it was elusive. And then, you know, spiritual experience, page 567, right? Says, the term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Oh, that gives me such hope. When I would read that, that would give me hope. Okay. It looks different. It can be different, right? I always thought, like, I remember doing my first fourth step, and I would be like, I have to be in the perfect. I have to be, you know, meditating, and everything has to be perfect, and I have to be zen all the time. And I was trying to make myself all these things, not knowing that I couldn't do it for myself. I couldn't do it for myself. I tried so hard. You know, I got A for effort every time. And it still didn't happen. You know, and I read further in spiritual experience, yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences might be in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheaval. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous, right? It's erroneous. Like, I didn't, you know, Bill sat and whew, it came, you know, right? And I read stories in the book and whew, they knew, right? It came. It was overnight. It was there instantaneously. And I was like, what? I don't understand. So I'm getting into year 15 and I don't understand. You know, why is there still so much that I don't see as moving forward? Is that I'm like, I'm doing everything you ask me. I'm so educated. I could quote the steps. I could teach the steps. I could be in the big book. I could read everything. And I wasn't getting, you know, I had small glimpses. And I was still on that bridge of reason. I was still trying to figure it out. I know today, one of my sponsors used to say that. She goes, well, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. And I would, we always laugh because I know when I'm figuring it out today, it means I'm not connected to a power greater than myself. You know, when I think I'm the solution or I just have to work harder to find the solution, I'm not. I know today that I got to be dumber and I got to say, you know, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. Please. You know, the less I knew, the more recovered I became. That's just how it worked. You know, the less I knew, the more recovered I became. The more that I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. So what happened? How did that happen, right? Well, I know exactly when it happened because I started out, I'll tell you, I've had two, well, maybe three in the last 6-7 years of what they described. You know, of experience, show, you know, these sudden rearrangement and what my life looks like today, right? I want to go back to the spiritual experience a little bit in the back. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls educational variety. Because they develop slowly over a period of time. Well, 15 years, developing slowly, right? Quite often friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself, right? It was really interesting for me. People started saying, oh, hey, Kara, gosh, you know, in program, they would see me different. I would get different descriptions of me than I did outside coming into program. You know, outside I was type A, in charge, organized, kind of demanding, you know, actually, you know, if you really want to be honest, I really want to, I'm kind of bitchy and demanding. Yes, that's me. But then I started to hear from fellows, your voice is so kind. You know, oh, wow, Kara, you're kind kept coming up over and over again, you know, and I was like, this is different. this isn't how the description I knew I was, you know. And people started saying that to me, you know. He finally realizes he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. Well, I will tell you, I tried years of self-discipline. It didn't work. It didn't. With a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness, right? So what happened? How did I know that self-discipline that I kept employing, that I kept using, that I kept thinking was my answer? What changed? I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I don't know. I don't know what brought it about, but I do know I kept my butt in the chair as I was instructed. I did the best I could do in that day. Today's best. This is what I did. I kept trying to be part of it, of everyone, to the best of my ability. And then one day I was on the phone with a fellow that, you know, I'd been in meetings with, a fellow, we had exchanged our food back and forth. I mean, I used the tools, you know. I leaned into the tools. They didn't always work because I was missing the essential leaning into God, leaning in to a power greater than myself that could do for me what I could not do for myself. I was missing that piece. So I sat on the phone with her, and it came out of her resentment, and I was talking to her. It was a resentment with her, of course, and I was talking to her. And here's my first wow that came to me. I started the phone call in the resentment, and I ended the phone call asking her to sponsor me. I hadn't planned that. And she was kind of taken aback, and she was like, sure, and we did. And what was different this time? I had been through the steps many times. What was different? I don't know. Except for the desperation, maybe, or maybe I just finally stepped ashore from the reason to faith. I don't know. And I will tell you, I just did what she said, and it was in the big book, and it was, yeah, it was a little different than I had before, but it was basically the same as everything I had done before. But this time, you know, I just did it. I just poured out my heart, and I said, I am leaving nothing behind today. God, show me what you need me to write, God. God, whatever it needs. And I remember sitting on my bed. I was doing some of the work. And it came to me. I would say I'd been abstinent. I had been abstinent almost within months of walking in 15 years prior. And had that changed? Yes. My abstinence has gotten tighter over the years. Had I done my food changed over the years? Yes. You know, have I always had a sponsor? Yes. Have I always gone to meetings? Yes. And in that moment, I just heard, don't fool around anymore. You know the things, and these are the things you don't eat. And today, you know, I don't eat from three categories of food. I just don't. And you can call me offline, and I'll tell you about that in more detail. But they're a no-go for me today. They are my alcoholic categories. I do not eat from them to the best of my ability. I read every label. I ask questions before I put food in my mouth. I just don't. My food plan is flexible. My alcoholic foods, they're the only thing in my life today that is absolute black and white. To the best of my ability, those things do not cross my lips because they make me crazy. Because they put a block between God and myself. And I can't afford that today. I can't afford to block the connection. I spend all day, every day, trying to clear the connection. And so I don't want something as simple as food. And I knew I couldn't do that by myself. I could not, because I tried. Remember, I got up every morning with a firm resolution. And I used all of my willpower. And I couldn't do it. In that moment, I knew what it needed to look like. And I also knew that I wasn't alone in doing it. There was a power greater than me that said, here are the foods. Don't eat them. And I'll help you. And I will tell you from that day forward, if it's been within my ability, I have not put those across my lips. I can't tell you the freedom that is. We just passed a candy holiday. I used to get through that holiday for the first 15 years on sheer willpower. And I would be proud. Today, I was like, oh, that's right, that holiday passed. And I had, my daughter had a party here. I was handing out things to kids. I was, you know, I was deep in it. And the thought never crossed my mind. I was enjoying the moment. I was being present. I couldn't have done that before. Those 15 years, I wasn't present when I wasn't eating. I was terrified out of my mind. I was what I called a good girl. I was doing all those things. But today, I don't have to worry about it because I have a power greater than me that takes care of me. So I was sitting on the bed and that came to me. And then I continued to work those steps with my fellow. And I worked the steps. And then the next time I was sitting at the bar, not a bar, the bar, a buffet at my house on the bar stool. I was doing what I usually do. I was trying to control some situation that was out of my control. And I distinctly heard, and I just sat there going, my character defects are here and I'm in control. And I think things need to look a certain way. And I heard in my head, am I not good enough for you? And I thought, I have been spending so much time, one of my character defects is seeking outside approval in the selfishness category there, right? I was seeking others' approval. And I just heard from my higher power, am I not good enough for you? Well, In all of my efforts to be better, to do this program the best, I never stopped and thought every time that I tried to control something or I tried to fix something, I was telling my higher power, nope, you can't do it for me. I know better. And in that moment, and I can tell you exactly where I was sitting when all those happened because they were so powerful. In the moment, I realized every time I look for your approval or somebody else's approval, I bypass my higher power. I tell my higher power, I know better and I don't need you. And that is absolutely not the case. That is absolutely not the case. Let me go back to spiritual experience again, page 568. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. I already read this, I didn't realize it, but that's just awareness of a power greater than myself. To be completely aware that there is something greater than me. I don't know, I can't tell you. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how it happened. I have no answers today. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. Honesty and open-mindedness are essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable, right? I don't need to know what it looks like. I don't need to know how it works. All I need to know is that it does. And then we have a quote at the end from Herbert Spencer. There is a principle which is bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. The principle is contempt prior to investigation. Oh, I could live my life with that quote. When I did, you know, today, I do a lot of step 10s. I need to do a lot of step 10s because I do know today that I think I have the answers. That's usually my fallback, everyone. If I'm honest with you, my fallback is when I'm hitting a problem or I don't know how to do something, I fall back into character defects. So how do I get out of that? Well, I have to work the step 10. I have to do an inventory, right? I have to figure out, you know, where have I decided that I'm in control today? Where have I decided that I have the answer? You know, and I'll tell you honestly, doing a lot of step 10s really has shown me I'm usually in a fixed mindset about something. You know, I'm usually decided that I have an answer, that the world needs to look a certain way for me to be happy. How do I get out of that today? Well, I wake up every day and I say, God, I give you this day, whatever it looks like for you, God. Please put in front of me anything you need me to do in this day to be of service. That's all. And then I move forward. I know it says somewhere in the book that we move forward with, like we, you know, I think it's an awakening. Like we go through the day, right? And we say, you know, here's my day, God. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. Well, I didn't wake up. It wasn't like, let me take a sip of tea here. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this perfectly. No, I work step 10s every day. I'll tell you, I wake up usually with a busy mind. I usually wake up with things to do, busy mind, how to fix it, how to control it, how to whatever. So the first thing I need to do in a day is sit quietly and connect. So I sit quietly and I connect. And then I give the day to my higher power. And then I write an inventory. I almost start every day with a step 10 because I need it. So I write an inventory every single day. And then I write a list of gratitudes. I do that every day because, and I write my gratitudes have to look like whatever comes to mind, good, bad, right, wrong. Because I know today I don't have the answer. My higher power has the answer. So if I just put down I'm grateful for whatever came to my mind, then it helps me step out of that I know what's good and I know what's bad. Because I will tell you, some things I thought were good turned out to not be so good, and things I thought were bad actually led me down a path that helped me. So I don't know today. So I just put those down, right? In the beginning, I didn't know how. When 6 years ago, I didn't know how. I mean, I've heard for 15 years some of the best prayers. Help, thank you, please. That's it. Three of the strongest prayers I know. Help, thank you, please. So I said, okay, I'm just going to start weaving as if today. I'm just going to try to get intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. I'm going to work on my intuitive thought. And just like it says in the awakening, I'm just going to ask. Okay, so I started small. I started with, what should I wear today? I wore some funny outfits, by the way. I was just like, okay, this is intuitive and I wore some funny outfits. What color lipstick am I going to put on today? I would put them in, you know, one on the other hand, and I would just go with whatever felt intuitive, and I would wear that color lipstick. Breakfast. I have my, you know, I have like five breakfasts I like, and I kind of rotate over the last 20-some-odd years of those same five breakfasts. You know, I can eat the same darn thing all the time and be happy with it. You know, and so I would say, you know, what am I having? And whatever pops into my mind, that's what I have. You know, it's always been my same, you know, realm. I will tell you every day, I almost every day when I'm getting up, I say, what am I wearing today? There'll be an outfit that will pop in my mind. And most of the time I go with that outfit because I'm practicing my intuitive thought. I'm practicing asking for help. Why do I have to practice? Because when the big things come, I have to be in habit. I have to be in the habit of just saying, I don't know what to do, God. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, God. Higher power, help me to see that person as you see them. One of my favorite prayers when somebody has really, you know, I'm really nursing that resentment, and I'm writing it out, and I'm still nursing it, and then I get to the prayers, and it's a sick man's prayer. God, this is a sick person. How may I be of service today? God, keep me from getting angry. Your will be done. Straight from the big book. And that prayer turns my anger to compassion. That prayer, in just the seconds I said it, moves me out of resentment into how can I serve? You know, I tap in and I say, I don't know, but I can't, the person in front of me, I can't deal with. God, show me how to be of service. Show me what I can do for that, right? And then I say, God, please keep me from getting angry because I know I don't get to be angry. I know. Now, I used to think that was really, really unfair. But I know today that anger for me brings me down. Anger sends me in all sorts of, you know, it sends me down so many paths of control and thinking I know what's right and having that fixed mindset that I have to ask. I have to, God, keep me from getting angry. Please, your will be done. Why do I ask for that? Well, I ask for that because I know today that when I'm in God's will, it is so simple and easy. People often ask me, how do you know the difference between God's will and your own will? Well, the only way I know the difference is God's will is simple. Things just work out without me worrying, without me being in fear, without me trying to make it happen. How do I know I'm in my will? It's hard. It's difficult. It's complicated. That's how I know I'm in my will. When I am pushing for something, when I am trying to control everybody, that's my will. You know, and as you know, from the doctor's opinion, that's what I thought was normal. It wasn't until I stepped from that bridge of reason, wait a minute, there's another way. This could happen another way. So I looked and I said, put in front of me what you need me to do and say. You know, and I started more and more today, I start calling them the little miracles. What are the little miracles? Things just work out. I don't know how. That when I asked for help, it came. That something I had been working on, and I took the step back and I said, God help. And all of a sudden, the best solution ever came, and it was the simplest thing. Those are the little miracles. Little miracles today that I could go through a candy-eating holiday and I didn't even notice. Those are the little miracles today. The little miracles today or that I can be of service willingly and with full of heart and, oh my goodness gracious, waking up and just saying, God, Show me how to serve. Now, if you had talked to me 22 years ago, I would think you were ridiculous. Today, I am so blessed. I speak to people around the whole world. I go to an international meeting on Zoom. Thank you, Zoom. Right? I have sponsees in 3 different continents. Crazy. That is crazy. You know, I can calculate the time change even when we have the week off from us to different countries. And I know which countries change and which countries don't. What? Why? Because the power greater than myself is giving me this life today. Because I said, all right, I don't know anything. Back to that step 10. What are my character defects? That fixed mindset. When I get to dishonesty, I always say, what am I telling you myself and what's the truth? And that almost always clarifies the picture for me. Self-seeking, well, I like to play the victim. And I also like to be the director. And I also like to hold on to resentment. Right? Fear, that's why I give it fear. Not being enough. You can put all the other little fears under that umbrella. Right? And then I get to, where's my reliance? Well, it's on me. It's on my finite self. There's my reliance. Right? And then I always do a two-way prayer. And I always say, you know, God, please remove my character defects and my fears and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I answer back and I start with, Kara, my love, Kara, my most adorable one. And I just write back what I hear. And I will tell you most of the time it says, trust in my abundance and power. Lean into me. I am your love, your rock. I am, you know, most of the time it's like, check in with me before you act or speak. Be present with me. You know, I will take care of you and yours. All those things come when I open the door. I like to say that, you know, my higher power works a really awesome program because my higher power does not give an opinion unless asked for. I'm still working on that, by the way. I've had to make a lot of apologies to my adult children that sound like this. I'm sorry, you're a grown-ass adult and you didn't ask my opinion, right? My higher power never gives an opinion unless asked for. So what do I have to do? I have to ask. I have to ask for input today. I have to say, you know, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. And I use the tools of this program and I work this program to the best of my ability every day because I don't want to lose that. So, you know, I get up extra early. Do I like it? No. Do I want to sleep in more? Yes. But I get up and I do everything I said I did before. And then I usually move my body and then I get on this vision meeting. 7 a.m. for California, 10 for New York time, right? So it's 7 a.m. for me, 7 to 8. I'm of service on this meeting for the 10 o'clock Pacific time, 7 a.m. for me, right? I do the best of my ability to always reach out and be of service. I get on as many days as possible. I speak on the vision meeting at least once a week because I don't want to be nameless and faceless. I want people to know who I am so I can connect because I need to connect to everyone. I need to feel and I need to listen to other people, experience strength and hope, right? I need to be able to pick up the phone and call people from the meeting. I want that. I want that today. I don't want to be in isolation. I don't want to try to fix it all myself today, right? And then after the vision meeting, I usually take sponsees for an hour. Now, some days it's an hour, some days it's a half an hour, some days I don't have sponsees. But whatever God puts in front of me. And I'll tell you, I did not choose this schedule. When my family said, we miss you at night, I said, God, I don't know how or what it looks like, but please, please, please put a schedule in front of me that's going to work. And this is what comes. I get up early. I take care of it. Now, do I forget my higher power throughout the day? No, I have a timer set to meditate because I know I always need to slow down. And I have, to the best of my ability, I do a little thing. In my faith, in the doorway, there's always a reminder of my higher power. So when I pass those reminders, I put my hand on it and I say, God, I invite you in. I open the door. And today, the more I practiced asking my higher power for input on things, small things, I find today that I do that, you know, on the bigger stuff, or I do it on the small stuff all the time. I'm going into a meeting at work. God, show me how to be of service here. Give me the words that I need to say. You know, I have aging parents, and I had to deal with something, and my brother was meeting me there, and we were all dealing with it. I walked in, and before I walked in, I said, God, show me how to best serve in this moment. Give me the words you need me to say here. And you know what? Most of the time, the words are, be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. You know, I talk way less when I'm, you know, with my higher power. And today, I'm hoping that my actions, you know, I work in it. I serve other people. That's what I do for a living. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm able to be of service today. I'm grateful that I can get on this phone call every day. I go to a couple other meetings too. I'm grateful that I have a community today that knows when I call and say, oh, I really tried to do this all myself again, and I need help, but there's somebody there that understands. You know, I'm grateful that people have been through the trenches. And so when I say the food was hard for me when I was just in program, they understood. I'm grateful that there were arms for me that said, we will love you until you can love yourself. Don't leave. You know, so today, I'm gonna end with, thank you, God, for allowing me to be of service. God, please give me the words and the actions in this day. Put in front of me what you would have me do today so I can best serve. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kara. That was Kara L. I'm going to spell her first name is K-A-R-A. That's K-A-R-A, Kara L. from California. And Kara, thank you so much. We appreciate your willingness to share your change in consciousness and your very vulnerable and inspiring presentation this morning. Thank you for that. The share ID number for Kara's presentation is 22,916. That's 22916. So we're now going to transition to our Q&A phase of the morning. Part of that, also, if you want Kara's contact information, please stick around. Wait till the end of the recorded portion. We'll ask Kara to give her contact info. So now if you have a question for Kara, you're going to press star 1 to unmute your phone. And give me your first name and last initial. Who has a question for Kara?
Alexa.
I heard Alexis.
Kiana.
Sherry M.
I believe that was Kiana and Sherry.
Thanks.
Anybody else with a question? I got Alexis, Kiana, and and Sherry.
Mary
Ann
F.
Mary and Jordan. Anybody else? All right, let's start with that. So if you'd mute your phone, we have Alexis, Kiana, Sherry, I think it was Mary, and Jordan. Alexis, what question do you have for Kara this morning? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, Larry. Thank you for your service. Kara, I really enjoyed your share. Could you please tell me how much of your own personality, how much of the spiritual experience, how much of the big book, and how much of what God has given you has contributed to your spiritual experience?
Well, good morning, Alexis. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Great question. how much is contingent? You know, if I knew, like, the steps, if I knew the exact path to my spiritual experience, I would have taken it year one, not year 15. I will tell you that today I find solace in the big book. I'm always, and I, you know, cover to cover several times, right? I always find whatever I need. Like for today, I just kind of, there were passages that kept popping up into my mind from the big book. But how much my own personality? I think it's a mix. I mean, it's a mix of like letting go of my own and saying, I don't know. And then once I opened the door for a power greater than myself and what it took to get there, I mean, I did. I had to work the steps over and over again. I had, you know, I don't think a moment in the first 15 years before I really had a big spiritual experience was wasted. I think I needed every moment. And I need every moment in this day. So thank you. Yeah, thanks, Larry.
Oh, you bet. Alexis, thanks so much. I always appreciate hearing you. Next up, we have Kiana, followed by Sherry. Kiana, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for your qualification. Thank you for your service, Larry. My question is, with your two-way prayer, have you had times where you've asked God for that intuitive thought, even through the morning with your clothes or even in two-way prayer, and just did not get a response? And how do you deal with it if you really need an answer? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kiana. Great question. Generally, like what I'm writing in my inventories, I always have something to write. So that doesn't generally happen. With bigger things, like bigger things like how to handle situations, you know, interpersonal situations, or, you know, let's say with work or something like that, a lot of times I don't get an answer. So I can't quote it right now, but there's a, you know, I think it's an awakening. You know, like we ask and then we kind of move forward with the thought of now that we've asked, our higher power will put in, you know, an intuitive thought or inspiration as we go throughout the day. Sometimes I just have to ask and be patient and just do the best of my ability. If, you know, like I don't really like giving amends. So the best of my ability is just don't do anything that owes an amends until things seem to work out, and keep asking is my fallback. If I don't get like a feeling right away, is like, do the best of your ability, Kara. You know, don't step on toes today. Don't punch anybody today, right? And keep asking and keep connecting. Eventually, a simple solution will arise. Pass. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Kiana. Okay, Sherry, it's your turn, followed by Mary. Sherry, good morning.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Thanks for your service. Hi, Kara L., Sherry M. here. Great to hear you. What a beautiful share. Beautiful. And yes, you have a kind voice. What kind of advice can you give to somebody who has a head full of knowledge and a belly full of food, who's been around for decades in other programs and just can't seem to have any sort of lasting recovered state with the food? Could you give any words of wisdom for that situation?
Good morning, Sherry, my love. It's good to hear your voice this morning. First of all, I don't have any advice. I know that I used to think I was full of awesome advice. I have no advice. I can tell you what I did and what I do, and what I heard from people who have gone before me, which was, don't leave. Don't leave. Trust in the miracles that you see around you when you're in a meeting, what you're hearing, the people that never left and it came to them. Because I will tell you that I was like, I'm never going to get this. It's never the grace and the love that I see and the recovered members. At times I thought, I'm never going to get that. And there was this small bit of hope that grew every time I heard one of them say, it took me a long time. And so I took that little bit of hope And I just held on to it. And I just kept doing. I kept coming to meetings. I kept being as honest as I knew how to be with a sponsor. I kept just doing. And I kept trying to connect. And one day it happened. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, thanks, Sherry. Okay, Mary, you're up next, followed by Jordan. Good morning, Mary. Mary, press star one. There you are.
Mary Ann S. here. Thank you so much for this share. It meant so much to me, and I appreciate so much your experience, strength, and hope. Trying to go with the notion of God directing what I'm going to ask. And my question is around step 10 that you mentioned doing every morning. I love that idea because like you, I think I wake up with a pretty busy mind as well. And I have a really hard time actually connecting with my higher power in the morning. So if you would be able to talk to me a little bit more, explain about your 10th step that you do, your inventory, and how do you write it out? Do you speak it with another fellow? That's my question. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Great question. I know for myself, and I heard this, I'll tell you, everything that works for me, I've heard from another fellow. There's so many good things. You know, when I opened my ears and I listened to other fellows, there's so many good things. And I knew when I heard it, like I needed my step 10 to be something simple that I could do, because not only do I do it in the morning, that's just to clear my brain, but I also during the day, if I need a step 10 during the day, it has to be simple and easy. So my morning one, I do use an app and I write it out and I go through, you know, is it a resentment? Is it a fear? Is it a harm? And then in a few words as possible, I describe it in the second column. And then in the third one, what's it affecting? You know, is it personal relationships? Is it finance? Is it security? I look to see, and I try to narrow that down to like, really, is it my pride? You know, what is it? And then I stop and pray after that. And resentment, you know, I kind of squash it. if it's a resentment, I'll pray for the person, right? God, please help me show them the same tolerance, pity, patience, and cheerfully grant a sick friend. Help me avoid retaliation or argument. Your will, not mine, will be done. God, they're a sick person. How may I be a service, God? Keep me from getting angry. Thy will be done. I'll pray. And then I dive into like a little bit of my psyche and I say, okay, where have I been selfish? And I write it out. Do I have a fixed, you know, usually if I have a fixed mindset, it's image management, it's, you know, along those lines, usually dishonest. Well, I'm telling myself, but this is really the truth. And this is really the truth. Self-seeking, director, victim, holding on to resentment, whatever. Fear, what is the fear? And then I kind of smoosh the fear prayer with the character defects prayer, and I ask, say, God, please remove my character defects and my fears and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I write it out starting with my name, and that's my two-way prayer. Done. I do usually meet with somebody once a day to read any step 10s that I have. I find it keeps me more accountable throughout the day. I sometimes I do a shorthand. Sometimes it's, you know, somebody cuts me off and I get angry. I just say, bless them, change me, God. And if it leaves my mind, it's gone, right? If it's still in my mind, you know, then I might have to do more work and I might go through what I just did and then reach out to God for, you know, with the prayers, right? If it's not gone in a few seconds or a few minutes, then I will write it out on the app. And then I'll pick up the phone and call somebody. Thankfully, you know, I have a lot of step 10 partners. So all I have to do, every time I get a new step 10 partner, I just put my phone step 10 under business. And then, so when I query in my phone, I put step 10 in and this list of names comes up, right? Because I need all of those. I need all of the help I could get. Great question, Mary. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Hey, Jordan, in Chicago, we're partial to anyone with the name Jordan. Good morning, Jordan.
Why is that, Larry?
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Jordan!
Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Kara. Thank you so much, Jordan. For sharing with us this morning. Sorry, guys, I'm a little sick here. I'm getting over a cold, so forgive the heavy breathing and nasalness, but thank you so much for sharing, and especially on this topic. I think, God, we compulsive overeaters, we are control freaks. And I think, like, even years into recovery, it's really, really, you know, and not only that, but the world we live in makes it really easy to resort to that. It's almost encouraged that you're, like, you're better, you're in charge, you're the director if you are in control, you know. And you talk about it a little bit and character defects and stuff, so I just wanted to hear a little bit more about that and about using a spiritual solution, even years into recovery, to, I guess, I don't want to say fight the control because we cease fighting anything and anyone, right? But to deal with it, I guess.
Jordan, great to hear your voice. Giant hug. Great, great question. Yeah, you know, I know, like I said earlier, is like when things are difficult and hard, I'm trying to control it. When they're simple and easy, my higher power is in charge. So when I'm in the midst, sometimes I don't realize it. One of my sponsors used to say, well, you didn't stick the landing there, did you? And so sometimes I say to myself, I'm not sticking the landing here. I might need help. Thankfully today, it's usually sooner than later, but sometimes it's later. And I always think of this paragraph. It's on page 61 and how it works. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think that life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure other people are more to blame. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Is he not the victim of the delusion that he can wrestle satisfaction and happiness out if this world would only in this world if he only manages well? Is it not as evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things that he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can out of the show? Is he not in the best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? This paragraph, I have it marked in my book because I feel this a lot. I do. I am creating, you know, like, and I have written down, I heard in a meeting, I have written down, one of my fellows said, I create the wear and tear on myself. And so, which kind of simplifies this paragraph down to a sentence. So where am I creating the wear and tear on myself? You know, step 10 really illuminates that well. And then there's an action in there, and then I can ask for help. It helps me, right? But if I start with that, where am I creating, where am I producing confusion? Where am I trying to fix something? If I've said, I got to fix this, I got to figure it out, I need a better solution, okay, this time I'm going to show them that I'm really sad and they'll see that I'm really sad and then they'll change, or I won't speak to them, or I'll withhold this, or I'll do that. Those things promote confusion. And, you know, I'll say, I had a screaming match with my husband last night. This morning, I know I owe him an amends. I still do it. You know, I'm so human. and I had to pray and I had to do all the work and I had to like, oh my goodness gracious. And I'll tell you, when I went to bed, my thought was, I just will show him how he hurts me and then he'll feel bad. That is not going to help me. That is going to produce more confusion. To this day, you know, I had to like ask God, I don't know what I'm doing here. All I know is that I'm angry and I'm hurt and I want him to act a certain way, and that's not going to work. So I had to be honest and I had to say, I might be at fault here. I might be producing this confusion. So God, what do I need to do? And in my heart this morning was, you owe an amends. You owe an amends. So that's what I'm going to do after he was still sleeping because it was early here in California. So I'm going to get off this phone call. And the first thing I'm going to do is give an amends. Because that's how I keep my slate, you know, my path clear. So I can still get input from a power greater than myself. I have to be honest with myself. I have to know where I'm producing the confusion. I have to ask for help. So, thanks, Jordan. That was an awesome question.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay, you guys, we still have time. If you do have a question for Kara, just press *1 and give me your first name.
Elena C.
Elena. Herbert.
Joy MB.
Anybody?
California.
Joy. Was that Joy? Did I get that?
Yes, Joy.
Elena Herbert and Schur. Great. Thank you.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Okay. Let's stop there. We'll check and see how we are on the time. So I have Elena, Herbert, Joy, and Mary Lee. Elena, good morning to you.
Morning, Marianne. Thank you for your service. And thank you, Kara, so much for your beautiful presentation. My curiosity is, if when you have periods of time when character defects surface a lot, and maybe they're the same ones, in my case, fear, and they repeat themselves over and over. Of course, you know, I'm doing my 10 step and stuff, and like a part of me feels that I'm not spiritually connected, even if I'm doing all of this. And what wisdom or experience, strength, and hope you have in this those situations?
Thank you, Elena. Great question. Yeah, you know, there are times I feel disconnected. And what do I do? You know, the simplicity of going back to, I just ask my higher power's opinion on everything. For some reason, that connects me more than anything. What should I eat for breakfast? What clothes should I wear? You know, what do you think, God, here? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not expecting answers, by the way. I just kind of practice that intuitive thought or an inspiration, right? Whatever comes to mind. But I think when I constantly do that, you know, I just have to bring my higher power into, like, I often hear in my two-step prayer, like, breathe me in. If somebody's really upsetting me, I've written in my two-step prayer, like, send a thought of me to them, right? So to the best of my ability, I try to do all those things, like sending a thought, taking a moment and breathing in my higher power. I just have to constantly practice the connecting, you know, and asking. And when I do that, it seems to work out better for myself. You know, I connect back in. Also, you know, calling a fellow, being of service, working with a newcomer, being in a big book with a newcomer, oof, that'll connect me really fast, right? Hearing other people's experience, strength, and hope, that'll connect me right back in because it'll remind me. Right, listening to recovered fellows and hearing their voices, it reminds me, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, get out of self. That's what I say to myself. Like, what can you do today to be out of self? How can you be of service? You know, ask your higher power, like, how can I serve in this day? And then trust is in there too, that I'll be taken care of. You know? So thank you, Elena. That's a great question.
Okay, next up we have Herbert followed by Joy. Herbert, good morning. Herbert, press star one. Okay, maybe we're having some technical challenges. We'll come back to Herbert. How about you, Joy? Joy to the world. You got a question for Kara?
Good morning. I'm Joy MB from California.
Hi,
I called to thank you for, first of all, hosting us this morning. Thank you. But Kara, I am in awe that you have been presented to me. Your presentation is incredible. And I'm an elderly woman who thought this morning, this is my second time through the steps, and I am buried in above my head. And I have an incredible sponsor who has me reading the big book every day, line for line, word for word. And it's only the second time in my life, although I've gone to OE meetings 100,000 an hour, that I've ever done that. And my question for you is, how long does it take you to fit it all in the morning? And how on earth have you made a transition from your self-centeredness to listening to somebody else who's in charge? The acknowledgement that you're not is difficult. And thank you very much.
Kara, you might need to unmute for some reason. Press star one, Kara.
Is that better, Larry?
Oh, there you are. Yeah, perfect.
There we are.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joy, for the question. Great question. My morning routine takes me a while. It takes, sometimes 2 to 3 hours in the morning. Welcome Vision meeting is an hour, right? Sponsors, I usually take for an hour, there's 2 hours, and I at least sit for half an hour in the morning doing my other stuff. So that's 2.5 hours. And I include moving my body in that. So that's usually another 45 minutes, right? My job, I start later in the day and I work later. So I'm afforded those hours, but I do get up most mornings about 5:30 in the morning, 5:45. And so I can get it all in. During the day, doesn't take much time at all because it's just, 5 minutes of meditation here, inviting God in whenever I pass a doorway. I know during the day I get really busy in life, so I have to have the easy things for me. I have to make program easy during the day because I know that I'll get busy with other things. Do I want to be in charge? Yes, all the time. Am I in charge? No, not at all. And that's where a great step 10 will help. When I don't, all I know is I'm agitated or upset or something like that. That's where doing an inventory really helps me. Also, calling a fellow and just saying, how are you? I heard your voice in the meeting this morning. It's so great. I text that. I have some international fellows, and thank heavens for technology today, because they'll pop up on our meetings, our vision meetings, and it's so nice to say, I just heard you, or great share. And I'll be like, oh, I just feel this community and this closeness from somebody that's, 8 hours ahead of me in my day, like who lives in my future, right? And there's nothing better than that feeling. It's the morose feeling that I will bring for myself because things aren't perfect versus, oh, there's somebody across the ocean who loves me. And we were just on the same meeting together. That's joy today. With that, I pass. Thanks, Joy.
Yeah. Thanks, Joy. All right, we'll try one more time. Herbert, are you there? Thought I heard you. But, I make up voices in my head sometimes, too, so you never know. All right, maybe not, but I definitely heard Mary Lee. Mary Lee, good morning. And press star one, Mary Lee.
Good morning. There's never a moment here, is there? This is Mary Lee in Oregon, and thank you. And my question is, how has your recovery impacted your family? Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Mary Lee. That's a great question. Well, on a good day, when I'm centered in with my higher power, I'm able to say things to my adult children. I have a 25-year-old and a 27-year-old who live on their own. So I'm able to say to them, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't ask for my opinion. You're a grown-ass adult, you know. I can be content. You know, what my daughter said to me the other day, I said, oh, I slept so good last night. And she goes, well, that's because the house was full, Mama. You love when the house is full. And my house hasn't been full in a while. My kids are grown, right? They're out living their lives. And the unrecovered part of me says, no, I must see them and talk to them every day. And you know, but that's not what I can do or who they are, right? I have, you know, today, recovery tells me, be joyful. Be joyful that they're joyful. Be of service, you know? Give them the freedom to live their lives. And that was a hard one for me because I so enjoyed being a parent. And I'm thankful. They were 4 and 6 when I came into this to recovery. And I'm thankful every single day because before that I was a very screamy parent because I would lose my temper very easily. And so they got to have a parent that was constantly working on recovery. They got to have a parent that today they do confide in me, right? My husband, look, my husband and I have ups and downs because I will tell you, we've been together 37 years and there's a lot of ingrained stuff. It just takes time to work out. So to the best of my ability today, you know, I try to work through those things. I try to check in with my like I own an amends this morning. Unfortunately, my husband gets my worst behavior still, and I recognize that. And so I'm always, always asking my higher power to help me amend my behavior so that I can be a kind and loving and present spouse, partner, that I can work in partnership. And so I'm so grateful for that today because, oh, I wouldn't have wanted to be married to me. Thank you so much for the question.
Thanks, Mary Lee. All right, it's a wrap. I'm going to wrap this up, Kara. Thank you
so maybe
much.
Excuse me. Maybe Herbert needs to make sure his phone is unmuted. So.
Well, I always appreciate a good directive. Thank you, Anayeta. Herbert.
This is Herbert. And yes,
there
I do have technical problems. I've been laughing at myself for the last 10 minutes with star one. I'll give a call later. Thank you so much.
Or you could ask it. We got Herbert. We got time.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, between Bluetooth and Star One, I've been laughing a lot. Thank you. My question is about I call it the whiskey in the milk moment. What happens for you? What do you do? What's your experience right at that precise moment? Because it happens to me a lot, even though I have a lot of spiritual experiences throughout the day, and I feel very free, but I still have these ideas that it'll be okay. I can have that whiskey in the milk. And so I'm wondering if that's an indicator that, Herbert, I'm not really recovered, if I'm having those ideas and those temptations. So what do you do? What happens for you in that whiskey in the milk moment, that precise second where you think it'll be okay?
It'll be okay. Thanks, Herbert. I'm so glad that you figured out how to unmute or whatever the tech is. Great question. Whiskey in the milk moments. Thankfully today I don't have any of those with food anymore. I was having them because and you know, I love to speak offline, you know, and the details of it if you wish. But I that moment that I sat on my bed and I knew what my alcoholic categories were and what I couldn't eat anymore, I just knew. And I knew that I'd be helped and they went away. So I don't really have those moments anymore with the food because it was a huge spiritual awakening for me. I do have those moments with emotional sobriety, hence the amends this morning, right? Where I fall back into old patterns and I'm constantly working on my emotional sobriety. Some days are good and some days aren't the greatest, you know, and all I can do is ask for help there because that's what I struggle with most today is trying to control the emotional temperament all around myself, knowing how to do it right and all those things that I want, you know, like I think I need to know. And I often say in my meetings, the more I don't know, the dumber I get, the more recovered I am. So the more I can say, I don't know what to do here, God. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. Or as one of my mentors in this program used to say, please help. Thanks, Herbert. I'll pass.
Yeah, thanks, Herbert. I'm glad you're able to get in. And Kara, thank you so much. Appreciate all your service this morning. And let me give the share ID for Kara's presentation again. It's K-A-R-A, Kara L from California. And that share ID number is 22,916. That's 22916. So please hang out until we end the recording, at which time we'll get Kara's contact information and if you care to reach out to her directly. But we're going to close from a reading from the big book. We're going to read from, Let's read from page 164. What do you know? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.